The Lord be with you. You're listening to a podcast from the teaching ministry of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community. For more multimedia content or to get more information, go to www.epiclesis.org. Now, here's Pastor Chris.
During this season of Lent 2016, we are embarking on a series of services that we're calling Profiles in Perseverance. I've asked four distinguished and remarkable women to bring to us their stories of perseverance in pretty remarkable times, times of trial and difficulty. And our first speaker was my own wife, Sheila Alford. In this particular teaching, she talks about how she persevered through not one but two debilitating and elusive illnesses, and how God brought her through, and she gives some tips about how you might persevere as well. Here's Sheila Alford.
Hi. I think most of you know who I am. Those words that we just sang, "He keeps me singing," are important to me because at a time when I couldn't hear God's voice, one morning he woke me up and he gave me these words. I had to get up and write down all the words of this song. So that's really important to me. And I'm glad we got to sing it this morning. I just want to say first that I know that we've all gone through things in life, all through trials and persecutions and sufferings. So I'm not anything special, but I wanted to share my story because I'm hopeful that it can encourage you in some small way. And I just want to tell you a little bit of how I persevered through some things in my life. So today is perseverance. It's what I'm going to be talking about and what God has done in my life through and helped me persevere in difficult times. First, I looked up the word perseverance, and it comes from a Greek word, and I hope I'm saying this right, hupomene, and it means to remain under, to endure, especially as God enables the believer to remain under challenges in their lives that he's allowed. So I think that's important because he helps you remain under the challenges as you're going through them. And that's what I found in my life. And also I found it to be interesting that he talks about the Greek word translated endurance or perseverance. It means to abide under or to abide and to abide in Christ. And it's translated patience. Patience is passive, but perseverance is active. So it involves well-doing, fruit-bearing, and running the appointed race, despite trials and distractions of life. So I found that to be true in my case because, you know, as we're running the race, we're going to face trials and persecutions and sufferings, and it's a lifelong thing. So I wanted to talk to you about what happened 3 years ago because that was the most profound thing that I've been through. But in going there, I wanted to give you a little background because I think that's important to know where I was and where my thought life was at the time. Growing up, I was filled with a lot of pain and insecurity. My parents divorced when I was 11, but I've always, even before then, was very insecure. So I went through a lot of fear, stress, and anxiety, but it seemed to get worse when my parents divorced. So I had a lot of fear. And I don't know if you've heard the term false evidence appearing real. So that's what I went through during that time. And I went through severe depression all through middle school. So depression and then suicidal thoughts as well. So I struggled with that every day for probably about 3 years. Very intense. Feeling unloved, feeling just wanting to die. And I eventually came through that, but not so much the fear. I had underlying fear, and it was hidden. As I went through high school, things got better. I was no longer suicidal and things like that, or depressed, but I had this underlying fear. So everything I did came through the lens of fear, stress, and anxiety, and I was very shy. So I believed a lot of lies of the enemy, even though I didn't know it at the time. So I believed things like, you know, you can't do this, you can't do that, you're never going to accomplish much, things like that. So that's where I was then. Fast forward to, you know, I got married, Chris. We were in the ministry, and those underlying fears and anxiety stayed with me. And it kind of grew in a lot of ways because we were in the ministry, and I was trying to perform. I wanted to be the perfect pastor's wife. I did a lot. A lot of my identity was on what I did and not who I was in Christ. I didn't realize it at the time, but I was involved in so much, and it was my identity was based on what I did. So when I got pregnant with Noah, my first child, things went well, had a great pregnancy. But I got pregnant after that, after he was born. He was probably around 18 months or something like that, and I had a miscarriage, and that was devastating. And then after that, soon after, got pregnant again with Anna, my second child, and I think the fear of possibly losing her and miscarrying her was subconscious, but I think it was there, hidden. So I think my body reacted to that in a way that I started to have contractions early, and she wanted to come early. So I ended up having to take medication and being on bed rest and all that kind of thing. And she was born okay. She was full term, which is a blessing. But I had a difficult pregnancy. I had a lot of contractions, a lot of fear going into that. So after I had her, I began to have weird symptoms in my body. I had weird rashes. I had a really bad headache all the time. I slurred my speech. I would try to pick up a bottle to feed her, and I couldn't grasp the bottle. I had trouble holding her. I was afraid I was going to drop her. Just weird, weird things that the doctors could not explain. And I went from doctor to doctor to doctor, trying to figure out what was wrong with me. During that time, it was a dark time because I didn't know what was wrong, and I did hear God's voice at the time. So he was comforting me through the whole time. But it was hard to go on because I felt isolated and alone and depressed. And I had, at one point, had a headache for over probably about a month, nonstop. And you talk about debilitating. You know, I had a newborn and a three-year-old at the same time, trying to take care of them. And at one point, I told God, I can't go on anymore. I just can't do this anymore. And I began to write out my funeral arrangements. I wrote the songs I wanted. And to make a long story short, I eventually found a drug that would take away the swelling in my brain, because I had such swelling that even putting a pillow on top of my head hurt. So I took that, and I was able to function. I started getting a little bit better, a little bit better. Finally, the weird symptoms dissipated, but I still felt tired, and I would take a shower, and that would be all I could do. And it was hard to survive, and I think during that time, I feel like I lost a part of my life because it was so debilitating. And not only that, the tiredness, but I had like body aches all over, all the time. And finally, 2 years after Anna was born, they diagnosed me with fibromyalgia and chronic fatigue. Now, I don't know if you're familiar with that, but it's very debilitating. You're in bed a lot, you're tired. If I would do something a lot the day before, I would be in bed the next day. I just couldn't function. But I found another drug that helped, and it got better, and so I could function. And we ended up moving here to California, which has been the best thing, I think, for us and for me, and for God to work through a lot of things to help heal me. So in 2011, I heard about a healing conference, and I decided to go, even though I had been prayed over numerous times, and nothing seemed to work. I remember it was in December, and I had such confidence that it wouldn't work that I went Christmas shopping on the way to the conference. And I actually almost missed the last part, which was where I needed to be. So I went in, and they talked about the spiritual roots to disease, which I'd never heard of before. But in doing that, I realized that unforgiveness, bitterness, fear, those kinds of things can really affect your body. And I renounced all those things. I just said, you know, I'm not going to be in agreement with those things anymore. I'm just going to accept God's healing, and I'm going to be healed. And what was interesting was the lady beside me was holding my hand during the prayer, and she had been healed of fibromyalgia, which I had never met anyone who was healed of fibromyalgia because it's apparently incurable. That's what the doctors say. So she gave me hope, just talking to her and holding her hand and praying with me. So I left that night full of hope, and actually I was healed. I was able to walk out that healing, and for a year, I got my life back. I was excited. I just was so thankful that God healed me. So I wanted to get in shape because I had gained some weight, you know, not exercising and not doing some things. So I wanted to get in shape. So I heard about a supplement that I could take that would help me. Well, I wanted to take the easy way out, right? We all do. And at the time, I was listening to men and not to God. So I took the supplement, and this gets us to the what I really want to talk about is, I call it my dark time, because I don't know what else to call it, because it's just so bizarre and hard to talk about. So the scripture today really spoke to me, Psalm 27, because during that time, I was hidden in his secret place. I was hidden in a closet, basically, because I could not function. When I took the supplement, something happened in my brain, and I don't know what that was, but I could not function. And my brain hurt all the time. I had really severe headaches. My body was in overdrive. So it was like almost I was overstimulated. So any kind of stimulation, any kind of TV, talking, any kind of stimulus would just really affect my body. And it was almost like, you know, when you take a lot of caffeine and you're jittery all the time, that's what I felt like all the time. There was no break in that. And when I ate something, it would make it worse. So I would eat, and then it would take me 2 hours to get back to where I was. And when I would try to sleep, I would wake up just in panic, and my heart would start pounding, and that was all night long. So I wasn't sleeping at all. And during that time was just a dark time. You can imagine I was in my closet in the dark with my sleeping bag. That's where I slept, because that's the only place I could kind of function. And what I would do, I would watch videos because I had hardly any hope at all that I would be better. Because I did go to the doctors. I was in the hospital at one point, and they couldn't figure out what was wrong again. And it was disturbing to me. And it wasn't just physical, it was spiritual as well. Because during that time, it seemed like all the things from childhood came back at me. So all the fear, all the insecurity, all the stress and anxiety came over me, and I felt like this darkness was covering up the truth that God had for me. So one of the things I did was I made note cards with scripture on them. So in addition to watching the videos of healing, testimonies of people who had been healed, which gave me a lot of hope, I had scripture on these note cards, and I would memorize them, and I would put them all over the house so that I could see them all the time. And they gave me hope because, you know, faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. So I would speak these out loud and just to get them into my spirit and just to believe them. And the more I meditated on scripture, the more I trusted God and I had faith to be healed. Because, you know, worry is a negative meditation. You think about what if, you know, what if I don't get better? What if things don't go right? What if I die? What if I'm always like this? And so instead of saying that, I would meditate on the scripture and focus on the truth. Even though I'd grown up as a Christian, basically, and in ministry, I knew the truth, but it seemed like there was this veil over the truth of God, and I couldn't quite grasp it for me. I could for other people, but for me, it was harder for some reason. So the more I memorized scripture, the more the darkness came off the truth. One of the things, too, that helped me was changing my thought processes because, you see, I had always believed the lies of the enemy about myself and about who God was. You know, did God really love me? And it was hard to fully grasp that at the time. But I remember when I was going through the first illness, the fibromyalgia, and it was so debilitating, I remember for the first time standing in my shower and realizing the enemy has been lying to me all my life, and I've been believing him, and it made me angry. And I remember yelling at him in the shower, saying, I'm not going to believe you anymore. I'm not going to believe you anymore. And just really grasping that, you know, he's the father of lies, and he was lying to me all those years. So I knew that going into this dark time, but it seemed like it was even darker at this point because I had always heard God before. I'd always felt his presence, but this time, there was a time when I didn't feel anything. I didn't feel his presence. I didn't hear his voice. Even though I was in the scripture, I was reading, I was meditating, I was watching videos of healings, I was reading them, I was saturating myself with hope. Because at the time, I didn't want to focus on anything negative. So I would not even, you know those commercials that tell you about the drugs and all the side effects? I couldn't even watch that. I couldn't listen to it. It just sent a panic over me, a fear. So I had to turn that off. I couldn't watch the news for a long time. Anything negative, I just pushed out of my way, and I just saturated myself with scripture. And I memorized a lot of scripture, and I even listened to it at night. That's how I would finally go to sleep. And I remember at one point, the only place I would come is to church, because I knew that I needed to be here and hear God's word. But I couldn't even sit up. I was so weak from not sleeping and just everything going on. And I would lay in the back there on that side and just lay there and just listen to the word and try to worship. And I remember seeing a dark cloud over me. And I didn't know how to get rid of it, though. I didn't know what that was. But I knew it wasn't of God. So as I continued to memorize scripture, I kept asking God, you know, what do you want me to do? How do I get rid of this? And I didn't hear his voice for a long time. And finally, when I did go to sleep, I would have nightmares. And I had this pretty horrific nightmare. And I remember asking God, why did that happen? You know, why? That's so awful. And that's the first day I began to hear his voice again. And I got out my notebook and I started writing out everything he was saying to me, not audibly, but in my spirit. I could hear him say, you know, you're my child, I have you, I love you, you know, all these things. And I can't tell you what it meant to me to finally hear his voice. And he said, I have you, don't worry, you will sleep tonight. This is gone. And after that time, I did begin to sleep a little bit. And that after that night, I never had another nightmare. It was just like the enemy was just relentless. You know, I can't even begin to describe to you how tormenting he was toward me during that time. He never left me alone. He goes after the vulnerable, the ones that are tired and weak. And so he was attacking me constantly. And I think it was more of a spiritual thing that I went through more than a physical thing. Because even though I had weird symptoms and I had major, severe symptoms, the spiritual part of it was even more that I had to fight. You know, I had to really fight for my life. And I knew that. I knew he was trying to take me out. And I knew that I had to really have faith that God would heal me. Because if I didn't believe that and if I didn't have hope, I would have not survived. So I felt like I had a brain trauma of some kind. So I started researching how to heal your brain, you know, how to fix that, how to work on that. And so I found Dr. Caroline Leaf. She's a believer who's also a neuroscientist, and she deals with people who have brain trauma. And she said that you can rewire your brain. So I started looking at that, and I started reading my Bible, and I started asking God about that, like, what can I do to do that? And she said that if you hear a lie from the enemy, you just replace it with scripture. So that's what I began to do. So when I would hear things like, you can't get through this, that you're never going to be well again, you're never going to do this, I would replace it with scripture like, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do this. Romans 15:13 was my favorite verse. You know, now may the God of hope and peace fill you with all joy and believing so that you may be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And that was my go-to verse because I wanted to be sure that I thanked God through this process because I knew he was working and I knew he was doing things even though I couldn't see him and I couldn't feel his presence and I couldn't hear his voice at certain times. But once he did start talking, I began to write things down and I really took it to heart. I wanted to change. I didn't want to go through that anymore. I didn't want to have the fear that had plagued me all my life. I wanted to believe that he loved me. I wanted to believe that he had big plans for me. You know, he has good plans for us. Part of my strategy, too, was the warfare. So I would praise God. I made it a point to praise him even when I couldn't see anything in my life at the point that may be praiseworthy. I just found things like, I'm grateful to be alive today. Thank you. You know, I'm grateful for my family. Thank you for my family. So I just started thanking him and praising him. And that, you know, that's the best warfare there is when you thank God for things, even though you may not be able to see it at the time. So that's what I started to do. I was running the race as best as I could. I was trying to be joyful in the midst of circumstances that seemed really, really dark. And as I did that, as I praised him, even more darkness came off. And I started really believing for the first time that God had good plans for me and that I could do all things through him who strengthens me. And he began to work on my identity at the point where I telling me things that I had never believed about myself. You know, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I would say that a lot. I would repeat that one back to myself because for a long time I didn't believe that. So eventually, all these lies came off and I could see more and more of the truth. And verses like, trust in the Lord forever, for in Yah the Lord is everlasting strength. And for there is no partiality with God, Romans 2:11. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, Psalm 107:14. 2 Timothy 2:13, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. And then I started working on asking him for peace. I wanted to read this to you because my favorite verse, Romans 15:13, talks about peace and hope and joy. And when I looked up peace, it's from the Greek word eirene, which means binding or joining together what is broken or divided. It's freedom from disquieting or oppressive thoughts or emotions. And I feel like that's what God did for me during that time. He calmed down my disquieted thoughts. He took what was broken, because my whole life was broken, and he brought it together, and he made it whole again to what he originally had planned for me and changed my mindset. He changed the way I thought and dealing with toxic thoughts, and he told me I would be healed. So I had to believe that. So I just had to walk it out. And as I was beginning to know who I was in Christ, I began to write out those things like, I am an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. I am free from all bondage. I am strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I am the apple of his eye. I am his treasured possession. I am blessed in the heavenly realm with every blessing of Jesus Christ. And I am born of God and the evil one can't touch me. And I began to look at the verses on healing, Isaiah 53:5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. And I would say that a lot. I would repeat that verse a lot because I had to believe that I would be healed, and that's where I had hope. And I began to visualize, too, what I wanted to do in the future, what I could see. I visualized myself in the future functioning normally without pain and working and doing things that God had called me to do, like writing and just all the things that I used to think were impossible. So all of 13 and 14, I lived with major symptoms in my body and darkness. I gradually came out of it. Probably the last year has been probably the best year of my life because of coming out of that and knowing who I was in Christ and, you know, writing things down and journaling and sharing those things with people and what God has done. And I think part of what happened too was my dad, you know, the forgiveness aspect of my healing was forgiving my dad for a lot of things that I had held onto, not realizing that I had done that because I thought I had forgiven him. But God said, no, you haven't. So when he was on his deathbed in 2014, and I was still having symptoms, I flew out there and I prayed over him and God did a miracle in his life. He was healed and he knows that God did it too. And so that's been really amazing. God restored our relationship. We have a type of relationship now that we never had before. And that's an answer to about 40 years of prayer. And it's so different. It's so wonderful. God not only healed him, but he healed me and our relationship at the same time. And God is so amazing. You know, he can do what we think is impossible. So over the last 3 years, I've learned a lot about perseverance. I've learned about myself. I've learned strategies for warfare, like meditating on scripture, memorizing scripture, just filling myself with his word and with his truth, and just focusing on that, focusing on truth instead of the lies from the enemy. And changing my thought patterns, not being so negative. And I tell you, it was really hard for a while because at first, when I would think a thought, and you know, it's probably why God put that in the Bible, take every thought captive. And then Philippians 4:8, where it says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of good report, if there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. So that was my scripture to go to too, because at first, when those thoughts would come in, either about my identity or about what I could or couldn't do. I would think on scripture. I would think on the truth. I would meditate on the truth. And I would tear those verses apart. You know, I would look at them in different translations. I would pick them apart and apply them to myself. At first, it was like every minute. And I didn't realize how toxic my thoughts were. But when you're replacing them every minute, you realize, oh, wow, you know, I've been thinking this way for my whole life. So that was an eye-opening experience. That over the last 3 years, I have persevered, but it's only been by God's grace and His mercy. And I'm still learning. Forget sometimes. So I have to go back to the basics and go back to the scripture and listen to scripture and soak it in. And once it's there, you know, it's always there. It just comes back. When you're in those situations, you can say, oh, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If you have it in your memory and you have it in your heart, it really affects the way you live. So, and I'm forever grateful that God led me through this dark time because He changed who I am and He changed the way I live. And He changed the way I have hope now when I didn't, you know, I have such hope and such faith now because of what I've been through. So if there's any impossible or seemingly impossible situation, I seem to have more faith because of what I've been through, because I know where He's brought me and how He's brought me through it and out of it. Part of my healing too, when I was having the severe symptoms was I was offered a job. And I had a decision to make. I thought, okay, I am having these severe symptoms still, so do I trust God and walk it out and accept the job, or do I not? And so at that point, I said yes. So I went to work. Nobody knew I had these severe symptoms. I walked it out each day, and eventually my symptoms got better and better and better. And I think focusing on something else too helped my brain, helped me heal. And once I was healed spiritually, I could be healed physically. So I want you to be encouraged today. As you run the race, as you persevere in your life, as you experience trials and tribulations and sufferings and just hard stuff, it's hard living in this world. Just remember James 1:12. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love Him. And so I want you to remember, when you feel in a tight space, when you feel all alone and in darkness, you are hidden in Christ. And His truth will set you free. So now my view of things are totally different, and they're veiled in truth. Romans 15:13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit.
You've been listening to a podcast from Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community. If you'd like to learn more about ancient future faith or worship with us at Epiclesis, visit us on the web at www.epiclesis.org. The Lord be with you.